Well, hello, I'm Luis Hernandez, and welcome to the Florida Roundup on WLRN. You know, school may be out for the summer, but there was some big news for public schools across the state this week. It was this week when the Florida Department of Education released the latest school grades for the 2016-17 year. These are grades for the schools themselves, not for the students. Now, the figures are astounding. The percentage of schools that earned an A or B jumped from the previous year, 46% to 57%. The number of failing schools decreased by more than half. Wednesday, Miami-Dade School Superintendent Alberto Carvalho announced his district's achievements.
Today, we are announcing that for the very first time in the history of Miami-Dade County Public Schools, we have eliminated all F schools in our community.
Well, not everyone's convinced that the numbers show that things are really getting better.
To me, it's a test, and you're teaching to the test. We just get sucked into this whole, you know, we have to make the grade. And teachers now, I think, are being forced to take the love of learning out of learning and just focus on the kind of work that will be focused on the test.
And that was Mary Mann, a retired Miami-Dade teacher. Broward County saw a third of its schools receiving an A rating. That's a big jump from the year before. Palm Beach County, 35% of schools got an A. Again, the numbers are amazing, but how did the schools make such a huge improvement from one year to the next? Can we trust the numbers? If you're a teacher, what do you think about these numbers? What do you think about the figures? What do you make of these improvements? We'd love to hear from you. 800-743-WLRN. That's 800-743-9576. You can also tweet us at WLRN. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/group/ the Florida Roundup. Joining me now, Kira Gurney is an education reporter for the Miami Herald. Also, Scott Travis is from the Sun Sentinel, and Jessica Bakeman is the education policy and politics reporter for Politico Florida. I appreciate having all of you with me. Really, I want to start with just this, your first impression of the figures, how many failing schools dropped, how many schools got A's. It seemed like everybody was celebrating this week. Kira, let me start with you. Your impressions of these numbers.
So I think the results are really impressive. There were some Miami-Dade schools that went from having an F to having an A or B, which is a huge jump in one year. But I also think they should be taken with a grain of salt. The way school grades are calculated has changed quite a bit from the 2014-2015 school year. And the grades are now based on the a new standardized test, the FSA. So I think it's kind of hard to compare the current grades to grades from before 2014.
All right. And Scott Travis, by the way, mentioned he is joining us via Skype. Scott, what do you make of the numbers? Is something we can trust?
Well, I think this is something similar that we saw probably back in the early days. I've been covering school grades since the early 2000s, and we saw a similar trend in the past when they do a new test, which they did the Florida Standards Assessment just started about 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. The first year or two, the grades tend to be very poor because schools are still trying to figure out how to teach to this new test. Teachers are still trying to learn strategies. About the third year, they start to learn, and they are also another advantage that they have is that the school grades are based partly on improvement, not just on achievement. So if you do better than you did last year, then you get a lot of bonus points for that, which enables schools to get A's that might not get it from achievement alone.
Okay. Jessica Bakeman, should there be some skepticism?
Well, I think the important thing to remember is that the standards for how well students perform on tests and how well schools perform on the school grading system, those are set by the State Board of Education. And as my colleagues mentioned, that there was a new test rolled out in 2014-15 called the Florida Standards Assessment. This is a test that's based on Florida's version of the Common Core Standards. They, at the same time that they rolled out that new test, they also changed the way that school grades are calculated. And so the Board of Education had the opportunity to, at the same time, after students had taken the first round of Common Core tests, to decide how many students would fail and how many students would pass. And then also they were able to redo the way the school grades are calculated, knowing how many schools would get A's, B's, C's, D's, and F's. So they were able to engineer it so that schools had the number of F's that they were comfortable with, and then they expected that those numbers would improve, you know, year after year as, like my colleague said, the schools get more comfortable with the new testing. And so I think that's what we're seeing now.
Again, the number is 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. I'm especially throwing out an invitation to all teachers, all educators, principals. I'd love to hear from you. Anyone from school districts, give us a call. Let us know your thoughts on these new school grades. What should we make of these numbers? And how did we make such massive improvements in such a short period of time? Jessica, let me come back real quickly so we understand, because yes, this goes back to some changes in the law over the last few years, but really with the school grades, how much of the student performance on their test goes into the grades? How is this calculated?
Well, school grades take into account several aspects, including, of course, the raw performance, so students' test scores, and also what's called learning gains, which is students' improvement year over year. So, for example, if you're a teacher who has students who come into your classroom already behind, or perhaps they have some challenges like disabilities, or you know, they don't yet speak English and they're learning how to speak English, if they're not performing on grade level, but you are able to help those students improve two or three grade levels in a year, you're still going to get credit for improving, helping those students improve, even though they may not yet be passing the test, or they may not be doing as well as, you know, students in other districts, or students that don't have those same kind of challenges. But school grades used to be more complicated, sort of after they were first created under former Governor Jeb Bush. As the years went on, the legislature added different aspects to it to allow schools to incorporate other pieces of information. And in 2014, the legislature said, this has been enough. Parents don't even understand how these grades are calculated anymore. We need to simplify them. And so they required the State Board of Education to go back and redo them. And it just so happened that this happened at the exact same time as they were rolling out the new Common Core test. So like I was saying, the State Board of Education at the same time in early 2016 set what's called the cut scores on the new tests, which means the bar for what it takes to pass. And again, this happened after they took the test. So they chose how many students would pass and how many schools would get certain grades.
All right. You know what? I haven't been in school in a long time and my head's now swimming and I wasn't taking notes on what you just said. You know what, Scott Travis, it kind of something you said a moment ago, and because you've been covering this issue back since when they started grading schools. And, you know, I'm wondering from the Bush administration, Jeb Bush, when he was in the governor's mansion, what he was doing to change education, you know, through now to the Rick Scott administration. I'm wondering how much of it is that the state needed to improve and how much of it is just each administration wants to put its stamp on the issue.
Well, I think there probably is a combination of both. But I think recently there's been a lot of complaints from parents, from school districts about the way that school grades were done, that they used to be very complicated and it was very difficult to understand. So they did try to simplify it to make it a little bit easier. Now, what's going to be interesting to watch in the future is the state is notorious because they like to keep things interesting and don't want to have, you know, schools getting all A's and B's every year for a long time. If they see that schools are starting to do too well, then they almost always raise the bar and make it more difficult to get an A or a B. So then you have all these schools dropping again, which I expect to happen within a couple of years.
It almost sounds like, you know, that one sinister teacher who was trying to, you know, grade on the curve and just knock a whole bunch of us into one big category. I don't know. I fell into that curve. That's why. Why I say it.
Yeah. Another thing that's interesting that I know that in Palm Beach County, for example, I think they've been doing this in Broward as well. I'm not sure about Miami-Dade. They've been using a program called iReady, which basically is a computer program that will tell you how a student is doing at any particular time during the year. So if you any day you want to see what the student's progress is, what level they're at, then you can use this program. So it's really enabled schools to be able to say, okay, Johnny is below grade level right now. We need to put a lot of extra work into him to make sure that he gets better. I think that may be another factor that's probably helped the schools improve this.
All right. I want to go to the phones. And again, I'm inviting teachers to call in. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your thoughts on these school grades that came out. And again, as we heard, the number of failing schools dropped by more than half statewide. And we heard about Miami-Dade. We're going to talk about that in a moment. No failing schools since they've been grading schools in Miami-Dade. All the different districts here in South Florida, Palm Beach, Broward, all of them made major improvements. But let me go to the phones first. I want to bring in Lauren from Miami Lakes. Lauren, welcome to the program.
Hello, how are you?
You're a teacher.
Yes, I am.
So tell me your impression.
I am very skeptical of the grades. I know from personal experience, I've been in the Miami-Dade public school system for 6 years. Before that, I was a graduate from Columbia University. Before that, I was a graduate of University of Florida, and I was a product of public schools in Miami. And what I have found is that you are stuck in an annual contract. And I'm certified to teach middle school and high school, so from 6 to 12. And I, being in the annual contract, that happens is that come June, your administration goes to the budget meetings, the school board, to find out whether they can afford to keep you or not. And 90%...
If I may, sorry, Lauren, just real quickly, if I may, though, real quickly, sure. I want to come back to just the grades on this. I apologize. I have to get through some calls. But with these grades, you say they're misleading. Why?
I say it's misleading because it doesn't, you know, it's product-based. It doesn't show what had to happen behind the scenes in order for those scores to, or those grades to come out. For me, for instance, this year, I was teaching at two different schools. At two different schools that I was let go from each, because the scores, that practice scores that the students were doing, were the students in an urban environment in Miami-Dade public school system, not getting, we're doing iReady in middle school, as you were discussing, but we're not getting the scores necessary, according to the administration, to decide that there would be gains from an F school to a C school.
And the schools that you taught at, did they improve? Did they stay the same?
Yes, they all improved.
All improved. Okay. All right.
I taught at high school and middle school.
I see. All right. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for the call and for bringing that up. I really do appreciate it. Let me go over to Annette in Fort Lauderdale, who is also a teacher. Annette, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks. I want to, one, agree with Lauren as far as being skeptical about the results of the test, and I say that I've spent 9 years in a public school system, product of public schools, and one, the students, the teachers are actually encouraged, or discouraged, rather, from giving too many Fs, and that also affects the ultimate school grades. But I also wanted to correct something, or at least clarify something that I heard earlier, which is that if a teacher is has English language learners who are brand new to the country, they do not, the teachers do not get credit for learning gains, even if the students did really well and improved their fluency in English, for example, because learning gains are based only on improvement. So if there is no previous test with which to compare, there will not be a learning gain for the teacher. And unfortunately, I saw that happen to a lot of colleagues this year.
Can I just very briefly, Annette, you said that they're encouraged not to give Fs.
That's correct. Too many Fs. Right. Not only did teachers' colleagues get fired for giving too many Fs, there were multiple meetings with administrators to question why are there so many Fs in this class.
Even if the student was failing, even if the student earned an F.
Even if the student is failing, even if there could be demonstrable evidence, this student has not turned in any work, I've tried this, I've tried this, I've done this, this is all clear, and it was just discouraged.
That's amazing and fascinating and very strange to me.
Happens all the time.
Annette, thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate
you
calling in.
Absolutely. Take care.
You know what? Kira Gurney, I wanted to let's move over real quickly to Miami-Dade. We heard from Alberto Carvalho, superintendent, a little while ago, making the announcement, no failing schools in Miami-Dade. And, you know, we just heard from Annette about a lot of these schools here, at least down here in Miami, Miami-Dade. You have a lot of English language learners. You have a lot of kids living, getting free and reduced lunch. These are technically, a lot of these do pop up as, you know, some of the reasons why sometimes kids struggle on tests. And yet no failing schools. What do we make of that?
Well, I think that the fact that some teachers are very skeptical is definitely important to note. There's been a lot of skepticism on social media as well, on Facebook groups that teachers in Miami-Dade are a part of. And I also think one important thing to note is that not every Miami-Dade school has gotten their final grade yet. There are actually seven that still have an I for incomplete. So that either means there aren't enough students who took the standardized test at that school, or maybe someone has questioned the test result or the way it was administered. And a few of those schools that have I's right now, the incompletes, had C's or D's previously, so I do think we need to wait for those to come back to know for sure if there are any failing schools in Miami-Dade.
All right, but again, you know, the superintendent comes out and celebrates no failing schools. Again, for a district as large as ours, not just in the area, the largest in the state, one of the largest in the country, you know, some skepticism, right, at these numbers. And you heard some of the teachers say, you know, they're told not to give too many F's. And there's, again, a lot of focus on tests.
Yeah, I think it's definitely good to be skeptical. I think there, you know, there are some schools that have made huge jumps from Fs to As or F to B in 1 year, which is very impressive, but I think also extremely difficult. And so, you know, I think there's a big effort that teachers and administrators are making that should be recognized. But I also think there are some changes in how the grades have been calculated and kind of some wiggle room that maybe also played a role in that.
Scott Travis, looking at Broward County scores with the schools. Again, a lot of schools made a jump. Some of them one grade. Some of them, you know, they went from D's to B's to A's. What do you make of the numbers in Broward County? Was there any one school that was a surprise?
Probably the school that there are a couple of schools I think that did very well, like, or did much better. Walker Elementary School had been an F-rated school for the last couple of years, and they had tried some new programs there, given teacher bonuses and given the principal some extra money to try to get a top principal in there. And they really hadn't shown any progress in their first year or two, and then suddenly they did make a big jump this past year. There's another one, I think it was Silver Lakes Elementary in Miramar, and that went up from a D to an A. And I did talk to the principal there. She was at a news conference, and she said that there's no magic secret, just a lot of hard work focusing on the standards, and that teachers put a lot of extra time in and really worked with the kids. But I would think that that would be the same case at just about every school. So I'm not really clear if they did something that worked there that didn't work at other places.
Jessica Bakeman, we'll wrap up on this. Any concerns moving forward? The governor did sign the very controversial SB 7069 this year. Could that have an impact on these scores? Is there anything else that we see when it comes to funding of education, you know, that maybe next year, the year after that, the scores may change drastically again?
Well, I would say that actually the scores have an impact on the new law, HB 7069, because one of the components of the law that has gotten the most attention is what's called Schools of Hope. This was the priority of House Speaker Richard Corcoran. And essentially, the idea is if there's a traditional public school that has been underperforming for a certain number of years, whether they have multiple D's or F's or a combination, then it would be eligible for a charter school to come in and open a new school nearby that failing school, to the idea being to give the students in that school the opportunity to leave it and go to what hopefully would be a better performing school. Also, another component of HB 7069 that was included as part of the compromise was to allow up to 25 traditional schools that have been struggling for a long time to get access to additional funding that they could use to install what they call wraparound services. This is like social services like health care, possibly dental care. Schools could really get creative with it. They could use it to help parents get jobs, to help parents learn English, to basically address some of the issues that make it harder for students to learn. And so all of that is based on school grades. So we're still waiting to get the final list based on the new school grades of which schools will be eligible for those grants and which schools could soon have a charter school neighbor.
All right. Again, if you are a teacher, please share your thoughts on Facebook, facebook.com/group/the Florida Roundup. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Jessica Bateman's education policy and politics reporter for Politico Florida. Kira Gurney is the education reporter for the Miami Herald. We also heard from Scott Travis, covers education for the Sun Sentinel. He joined us via Skype. I thank you so much, all of you, for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right. The news coming out of Venezuela continues to be disheartening this week. It turns strange. And if you're in contact with family back in Venezuela, we'd love to hear your thoughts on what's going on over there. 800-743-WLRN. More on that story coming up next on the Florida Roundup.